This is an English talk now from Clément Escovier, and he's going to tell us about Play, which is a framework for creating web applications. It will be part information, but also hands-on with live coding to see how easy it is to create web applications. Clément, thank you very much, and
thank you.
Your talk.
Okay, hello. So I'm Clément Escoffier. I'm working for Equinet. It's a company which is based in Hamburg and in Berlin. And I will explain why Play 2.0. So it will be renamed in 2.1 because it was released a couple of weeks ago. So the first reason is why Play 2 and why Play in general? Because the web has evolved. Before it was this. It's a German website. I found a pretty beautiful German website with those beautiful green and blue. And if you see, you have a border blue here because it's a link. That was amazing. And so that was completely static. We have the concept of webmasters that was providing content to the visitors. And the first mobility here was the WAP. It was pretty fast, pretty amazing. Obviously, today it's a bit different. We are using a lot of services, and just some of them, blog, podcasts, mashups, RSS, Google, and so on. So the model has changed. The visitor is now a central actor of any web app, or any web application. We're speaking about rich media, about mobile, responsive, even plastic web app, which means adapted to the context of the user. We have some semantic, which is rising right now, so we don't really know where it is going, but it's something that will come. It starts to be reactive. You don't have to refresh. It will refresh for you with the newest info and so on. Go to Twitter, go to Facebook. It works always like that now. And it starts to be pervasive. Even more, you are somehow part of the web already. You have smartphone. You have maybe some connected device at home and so on. So it's really everywhere. At the same time, the technologies have evolved. Well, that's easy, HTML1 to HTML5, the rising new standard, which is not complete right now, but we have some good ideas about where it is going. The client side. At the beginning, it was mostly server side, and the server was just returning plain content to the client, and the client didn't do anything. So that was the beginning with CGI, with Perl, and so on. And that was interesting because exactly at the same time, the language that we are now using on the client side was already existing. It's JavaScript. JavaScript was already existing at that time, but was not a really good language with a lot of, and this Java name inside, and the marketing was really bad. Today, JavaScript is really everywhere. You have a phone, you have JavaScript. You have a mobile, you have a laptop, you have JavaScript. Any browser has JavaScript. Even some servers are based on JavaScript. Let's say Node.js, for example. There is another new languages that are arriving and try to replace JavaScript, like Dart, Google Dart, or CoffeeScript, which is a layer. But they are right now small, and JavaScript is still really omnipresent. The success of JavaScript is mostly explained because of the development of library like Dojo, like jQuery, like any prototype, Scriptaculous. You have plenty of libraries that make JavaScript development much easier. And JavaScript start to be the only language that can be used on all platforms. Mobile have JavaScript, laptop have JavaScript, server have JavaScript. So it's everywhere now. Second thing is CSS. CSS has evolved. At the beginning, there was no CSS. You were coding the presentation, the design directly inside your page. And we were setting the color of your font directly inside the HTML. Now it's completely over, and we have CSS3 and what I call CSS++, like LESS or NCSS, which are framework on the top of CSS to make it more maintainable, more modular. We'll see a bit of LESS during the live session. And the cloud. Who can ignore the cloud today? So, unfortunately, developing an application for the cloud is a bit different than developing an application on a server. Even if we try to convince you that no, it will... No, that's a lot more complex. But we need now a framework which can deal with all those concerns and make it web development productive, efficient, and made for the web of today and of tomorrow. So that's more or less the reason why they developed Play 2.x or 2.1. So Play 1, the first version, was developed 5 years ago by Zenexity, a French company. And they used it because they had a need to really develop a web application pretty efficiently. And it was a really, really successful project. And they decided to just restart and redevelop the core to fit the new needs with NIO and so on, and that's what they call Play 2. So don't be surprised if Play 2 is not really compatible with Play 1. It's not. It's not the same framework. Actually, it's just a cousin. They just have the same name, but, well, it's not really an evolution. It's really something completely different. When you release a new technology like that, you have obviously a lot of noise and buzzword and discussion. And so you may have heard that Play 2 is Scala. No, well, okay, Play 2 TypeSafe, the company behind Scala, is participating actively to the Play 2 development. You don't have to know Scala to develop a Play 2 application. A bit, because the templating and the default templating engine is based on Scala, but we will see. Well, I don't know Scala. I'm a Java developer, pure Java developer, and I don't want to touch any line of Scala. And I can develop Play 2 application. SBT. Play 1 was a Python-based build software. The build of Play 1 was based on Python. It was weird. This time, as it's Scala, they choose SBT. And, well, SBT means simple build tools, and it has nothing but simple. It's really complex. It's you script it, so it's back to the make, more or less. But you don't care because Play 2 make it actually I never touch a line of SBT. Well, I also developed a Maven plugin because I'm a Maven fan. So all those noise that you may have heard about Play 2, well, we will see. It's pretty simple. So, but what is Play 2? Play 2 is an extensible full stack. That's kind of weird. You can develop in both Scala or Java, and there is even extensions that will be available soon for other GVM-based language. It will support JavaScript out of the box, okay, well, CoffeeScript, Less, and so on. And Dust, for example. Dust is a client-side templating engine, which is used by LinkedIn. Everything will be supported out of the box. But the cool thing is that it's completely extensible, and you can provide all your models. MongoDB? Another database, no problem. It can do it. It will come with some GPA support, XML, JSON, of course. Well, everything made today to develop pretty efficiently a web app. It's made for RESTful application, and so in a stateless mode. You can develop stateful. It's not an issue, but it's really, we will see that, made for RESTful and stateless. It's MVC. Well, everybody is MVC today. The model will be so GPA-based. In the Java version, it's eBeans. In the Scala version, it's something called Anorm. The Vue is a template engine based on Scala, but, well, there is nothing really in Scala inside. And the controller, the logic, is both it can be Java, Scala, or both inside the same app. You don't have to choose. Obviously, everything is integrated correctly. You can test. Everything is hooked. UI test, integration test, everything is provided, so you don't have to find some new stuff. Everything is there. It's made for HTTP, and that's the main difference with other Java web-based development. Other Java web-based developments are based on the Servlet API. Servlet are great. Well, they was great when they was invented in 2000. We are 2012. The web has evolved. Actually, HTTP didn't, but yeah. Well, all those servlet-based dependencies make it pretty hard to develop really reactive and async application. Only the latest servlet 3.1 specification have a part of long pull of async, which is named long pooling. Well, it's not made for really reactive application and scalable and so on. So that's why they choose purely HTTP. And actually, well, we all know HTTP. So that's pretty simple. Obviously, so it will support async, WebSockets, and so on. And it's focused on one thing, productivity. In two ways. efficiency, we'll see. We will develop an application in 30 minutes. And production. This application can go immediately in production. Take Heroku or any cloud provider, up, you're done. That's it. So, really fast. It's made for reactive web. So if you want to have an application where you have WebSockets, where the user get it automatically, that no refresh, no, well, a modern web application, Plateau is made for that. So let's now do some code. And we will do, in 30 minutes, more or less, destruction-free text editor on the web. So it will be a pretty simple application in Java. I don't touch Scala. And OK. So I've prepared. It's what you get when you create a new project with Plateau. So you download Plateau from the website. You create play new my app. You choose Java. You will get such kind of things like that. So I have updated it a bit with what I have some JavaScript. I put Bootstrap. We'll see editor later. jQuery, it's come with that. Bootstrap is a Twitter Bootstrap. Huh? Nothing hard. Something here, some CSS just to make a little bit fancier there. So my first thing is let's develop, I hope you see, a first controller that will be really, really simple. So what is a controller? Well, it's this center part in the MVC. And it will be, OK, application is my controller. It has an index, and it will just say, OK, return OK, HTTP OK, actually, hello from Linux line. If I load it, so it started. So to start it, it's pretty simple. Play run. So beyond this, it's SBT, which is already running, but you don't have to know SBT. I type play. So for Scala users, they can do exactly the same thing doing some strange SBT invocation. They can do that. I just use the play framework. So by default, it's on the 9000. And we will open the page. And application started in developer mode. Done. I will load it. Hello from Linux time. That was really simple. OK, but there is nothing really there. So let's do our text editor, destruction-free. So the first thing that we will need is an article class, which is our model, which will just contain a title and the content, an ID, and it will be a GPA entity. OK, so new. Alpha file, let's call that models.article. OK. So let's remove the junk. What do we have in an article? First, we will just say extend model. Public long ID. We will do that later. Public string title. Public string content. Well, it's pretty simple. Normally, you should not do that with a string, but yeah. OK, so that's all for our article class. We will now add some GPA entities. Also, I will just copy them because there is some. It's exactly that. So what I have added is entity, GPA. For Java users, they should recognize it. ID. So that's the ID in my database, a lob for big string. And I have some constraints. So it's a bin validation. It's completely integrated. So here, it must be at least 10 characters. And this is required. The title is required. So I have also added this. This is the more interesting part. As it will generate, thanks to this small code, that I generally copy and paste in all my project, the find method, like find all, find by IDs, and so on. So you don't have to write them. All the DAO layer will be generated for you. And that will make it pretty efficient and pretty easy to develop. So, well, you have the ID type, your type, find, and that's it. Okay, so if we do that, did I save? Nothing will happen because it's not bound. So what we need now is we need to go to the application.conf and say, well, we want to enable GPA. So the first thing we say ebin.default models, and we will use a pretty simple database, which is provided here. And I will use memory as we are in dev mode. Refresh. Oh, that's an interesting feature. That means that he found the model. He said, hey, there is a model. And the database is new, so we don't have any tibble and so on. So it has generated automatically what we call an evolution, which is a script, a SQL script, saying, well, we need this tibble. We want to apply it. So obviously, in production, it won't happen like that. And it will just ask you to run the SQL script, or you can pass them in parameter. That's it. So now we have our entity. So, okay. So next, let's customize a bit this page because, okay, we have the entity, but this is really ugly and this is not what we want. So for all this, the templating, it's a Scala-based templating engine. So this is the main one, which is provided by default, where you can load all the common libraries that you have and so on. I will just copy one over. Index. New file. Okay, I'll just copy it. Explain. So, templates actually are just function. It's a function which takes some parameters and will generate some HTML content. It was always like that. Generally, in such kind of templates like GSP and so on, the parameters are not really shown, and you'd have to discover them too late, generally, when you say, oh, it's not filled. Here, you write them. So, this template index will receive a list of articles in the articles variable. This template is also extending main, which is that one, with a new title, which will be Fred. And then it's purely HTML code. Oh, let's do some Scala. This is a for loop. That's it. That's more or less where my Scala knowledge ends after this. I did some other stuff, but yeah. So if we do that, obviously, nothing will happen because it's not bound. But something interesting is happening behind it. You see that it's compiling one Scala source. Because actually what Play is doing is taking the template and making it a Scala file, a Scala function. So it can be a bit, why? But because then they inherit from the typing system of Scala. So they can detect immediately if something is wrong, if a type is missing, or if you have a typo and so on, and you will get a compilation issue or an error. For example, if I change that to, I forget this, compilation error. That's it. You do an error in Scala, in Java, or even in JavaScript, we will see at the end, it will be like that. You have the exactly where and so on. So that makes development really fast. Because obviously it's a template, it's pure HTML, so there is no compilation. There is one. So okay. Now let's render what we did. So instead of okay here, let's do, remember, it's a class. It's a Scala function. So views.html.index.render. Oh, do you see? No. No. Yeah, it's a function and this function has an argument, which is a list of articles. So we need this list. So you cannot have a template which doesn't receive the right parameters because the method does not exist. So we will need this list that we will name article. List articles. And for the time being, let's create just a new array. List. Okay. We don't care. Just now, check it. There we go. No? Okay. So the resolution is a bit low, but yeah, we'll manage. Okay, so that's what we have after that. But we don't have injected the article right now. Let's inject them. Remember, we have this find method here, and we didn't really understood why. Then we will see. Article dot find dot okay. It has generated all the method we could ever imagine for that. So, for example, in that case, get whole. That's it. So all the DAO layer will be managed like that. Can refresh? Okay, but we don't have articles. But let's create the articles later and first do some form-based UI like you are doing normally right now. And we'll see how Play2 can help you with that. So let's create a couple of methods. Remark that all methods in the controller are statics because it's stateless. In Play2, you can do they don't have to be statics, but well, and they always return a result, which is a wrapped HTTP result. So let's create a method that will, for the time being, do nothing. We'll just write some log. We'll just copy the other one. So, create, we will fill it later. Edit, to edit an existing article. We will take this ID. This ID will be given in the parameters. You don't have to do some fancy wrapping of the request. No, it will just be injected like this. We use our finder by ID. This is an interesting concept that we will see. It's a flash, so it allows you to communicate a bit with the templating, with the UI. And we reload the page with index, so we call it directly. It will generate all the HTTP code, everything will be there for you. Okay, delete, same thing. So we just article the delete. Okay, so we have those new methods, and we will try to inject them to do some fancy form here. So first form, so there is an helper function for form, which disable to, but which avoid to use the HTML form stuff. Actually, I use it, but it does not really give you a lot of good thing. Except if you are really using Bootstrap and so on, then it can generate all the input field using the right style and so on. But, well, we are not using that here, so it will just be pretty simple. So the form will take some application.edit. So it's our... Yep. Let's first do create. That would be probably better. Create. So it's a form which is calling this method. And what are we? It will just be a button input. Let's do some fancy classes. BTN. Info, okay. This is Bootstrap classes, so you don't have to know them. And style just to be a bit fancier. Yep. Yeah, I need a value too. Okay. If I reload. Oh, compilation error. And then it say this method is not found. And it's right because one of the main concepts of play is a root file. This root file will let you write which URL is connected to which method and using which operation. Obviously, so put, create, put, post, get, and delete. Yeah, you can really do all of them. So here, let's do something really simple like post. Actually, it's a DSL which is implemented in Scala again, but well, there is mostly nothing interesting there. Application.create. We will see that it's a bit Scala when we will write parameters inside this method. So how does that work? That's the operation. Okay. That's the URL we want to bind. Okay. And that's your method. Simple. Root, this root file, is also compiled, which means that it can detect immediately if there is some method which are not existing. Let's try that. Create two. Or even better, create long ID. Let's imagine that we have a method with a parameter. Oh, too many arguments for method create. So imagine all those issues that generally we say, oh, well, okay. No, they cannot happen anymore because they are just checked and detected immediately. So normally, we should get our button. Well, here. Okay. Let's do the same for edit and delete, which will allow us to delete and... and edit an existing article. So it's there. Replace those two TD here. Same concept. Helper.form. Okay. Okay. Well. Oops. This has nothing to do here. If we refresh, it will tell us, hey, the roots are missing. So let's do exactly the same thing. So here you can really design the URL scheme you really want. It's nothing really complex for that. So watch. Get slash up. Let's say that if we have... Oh, I will use this. That would be interesting. Application.edit. Edit. ID long. Okay, here we have this column ID. That means that it will just say, well, it's a parameter. So if you have an article with a matching ID, it will just work. And this ID will be this parameter in this method. That's it. You don't have to do anything. You say, well, it's a long, but sometimes it can be much more complex, like an article and so on. You can provide your own extender, what we call PyBindable, which will do this work. So you can imagine having an ID and here directly having the article. You see that it's Scala because it uses this writing, this IDs and colon, and so on. So let's do the second one with, say, post. Let's call it delete. So you can say, well, it's not really REST and so on, but as you are using purely HTML form right now, then we cannot use delete directly because HTML form does not support delete yet. Hopefully, it will be. Okay. Let's see if I did a typo or anything. No. But we still don't have any article, so we don't really see anything. So let's now do some really more fancy stuff. Well, let's not do that. This was purely basic form-based application. Nothing really interesting for that. It will reload the page and so on. The second part, the editor itself, will just use Ajax and do some more fancy stuff. So I come up with a small JavaScript script which will do the editor. So it has really, really nothing fancy, except maybe this one using regex to add commas somewhere. But, well, it's, as you see, there is 100 line of JavaScript bound in jQuery. That's more or less it. And I have a CSS which we will translate to less in a couple of minutes. Okay, so now what we want to do for that is a view. We'll call that create.scala.html. Okay. And this view will contain a couple of... I will copy it. Will be like that. So, two arguments, the title and the ID. Yeah, it could have been an article directly, but just for simplification, I use that. This is a template function I generally use to add some additional style sheet and JavaScript code directly. Actually, I can just move that here too, so that not all my views get that, but only this view. We extend main. And that's it. So I use some HTML5 tag, but it has nothing fancy. So if I refresh, this template will be compiled. Well, there is no error. But if we will have, I don't know, introduced an error, whatever, immediately seen. You see the time I just refresh, I immediately have the error. And it's not a really fancy, pretty powerful computer. So now we will go to application, and this create will use this new template. Views.html. HTML. Create. Render. Okay, so for the time being, let's do this. You want a long, right? Yeah. If I do that, it's not happy. If I do that, it's happy. Love Java. Okay. So remember, this method is connecting to this button. That's it. That's our really distraction-free editor. I can see. Nothing really interesting, but yeah. Oh, cannot save the document. Yes, of course, we never wrote the save function. But it's not a big deal. Let's go back, and we'll do that now. So, I said that we have this editor here. But, well, we don't want to go with JavaScript like that on a production system. We want something minified. So let's minify it then. So in HAP, you have a specific kind of package, which is assets. And if you move or if you wrote some JavaScript inside, it will be automatically minimized. So let's first see what do we have right now. Okay, scripts, editor. Well, it's definitely not minimized. Okay, so now automatically it would minimize it, and it will create a dot min at the end. So here you just add dot min. Refresh. You don't care. Head. Why is my editor? Yes. It's minified. He used Google Clojure for that. So if you have any JavaScript error or anything, it will detect it. So you don't have to add some anything and so on. And you still have the RealJS inside your project, so you can still do whatever you want. Okay, so that was for the minification. Now let's use less. So that's my editor.css, which is nice, but you know how it is during project. It starts to be big, and everything is duplicated and so on. So let's just write exactly the same thing in a less file. Then it in style sheet. Okay. We'll delete that one. Delete. So it's really exactly the same style. So nothing really interesting here. HTML, so it's purely less and so on. I saw a template for a CSS if you want. A module for SCSS where I prefer less. It will automatically generate the editor.css. So actually, we don't have to do anything. Just do that. And that's it. It's already the less version of our CSS. Let's check that. Add. Where is the CSS? Bootstrap. That one? No. Icon, jQuery, editor.css. And you see, it writes stuff like that, which we never wrote. Okay, let's do the save and loading. No, so I will just be fast. So what we first need is the controller, the action point. So there is nothing fancy, except one thing is that if the ID is zero, we consider that it's a new document. Well, nothing really complex for that. So for content, it will just return article.content. So do a check, find by ID, return it. And here you see, if I receive inside my body, so I use as formula encoded, you don't have to write anything. It will just wrap it. You can even wrap it to your article object directly. And that's it, where there is some stuff if it's zero and so on. But then we just do article.save. So if now we have that, I also forgot to add the roots, obviously. Just copy them. That's the route to get a content, and the route to save will be that one. So obviously it's already recompiled, so hello. I still have an error, because probably I changed something. What is that? Content. Okay. So, post articles ID and application. So it's always the same thing. Save ID double long. And we'll get the content using just the get. And content is my method. Continue. Too many arguments for the save method. Why? Oh, let's do it differently. Long ID. You You see? Immediately you get an error, so you can fix it pretty quickly. And no, it should still doesn't work. Okay. Probably inspect. Okay, so it's a root error. So as we are running out of time, I will show you what it should give you at the end. So that's the only thing which is missing to get the running application. So why it's doing that? So why play 2.0? I'll show you the application after. It's if you want to build application for really efficiently with all the new technologies and so on, then Play 2 is really made for that. If you want to be reactive to use WebSocket, Comet, or whatever, then Play 2 is really made for that. It's based on an NIO model, which is highly scalable, and will reduce the number of nodes you need on the cloud or stuff like that. It's modular. You can write your own modules. I wrote my modules for MongoDB, for my transaction, and so on. Everything was supported out of the box, and it's really adaptable. So thank you. I will show you the application. No, it should have been started. And yep, apply the script now. And the main advantage of Play is you want really a quick application working in production, then use it. So no. Hello. That's it. And then you can edit it again. And that's it. Oh, okay. Is that it? No? Wrong way? Yeah, okay, great. Edit. The presentation is really stupid. Okay. Delete to delete. Well, it's all the buttons we have added at the beginning which are working out of the box. Okay, so thank you.